You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast, brought to you by Ministry Grid. Ministry Grid is an online church leadership and volunteer training platform offering a library of thousands of videos and a suite of powerful admin tools to provide practical training for every area of ministry in your church. Find out more and get a free 30-day trial at ministrygrid.com/howitworks. Welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Barnabas Piper. I'm here with my regular co-host, Todd Adkins, and with Brad Lominick. Brad is bringing his Jordan flu game today. He is under the weather.
I'm playing hurt, folks. if you can notice by my voice.
I think it sounds great.
Either that or he's doing his best Soul Train DJ impression.
I've got sniffles. I've got chest congestion. I've got a headache. I've got a sore throat. So...
And none of that is stopping him from absolutely crushing it in this upcoming game.
Leaders never have a bad day.
No, you got to show up and you got to deliver, regardless of what day it is.
That's right. So he is exemplifying leadership, not just talking about it. But before we jump into today's topic, I did want to thank our listeners. The response that we've gotten to this podcast has been nuts. Todd and I have seen it all over Twitter. And I wanted to read some of the reviews that we've gotten on iTunes because you people make us feel like rock stars. So let's see here. Ditten, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, says, this is a great tool and resource for the personal development of any Christian leader. So that makes my ego expand, and I hope other people find it true as well. LJ234 says,
we're useful. Watching it right now. His head is.
I know. Yeah. My headphones are getting
Barnabas
tight.
Did have a smile on his face as he was saying that.
Big grin. Yeah. LJ234 says, useful for Christian leaders, not just men and not just church leaders. That's especially encouraging because we don't just want this to be a pastor's podcast. We want it to be useful for all sorts of leadership. And then let's see. Ooh, I liked this guy's name. I'm assuming it's a guy. Pardon if it's not. It's Cincinnandi.
Oh,
there you go.
That's catchy.
I see what Cincinnandi. He did there.
Yeah, it's strong.
Clever.
That's right. Yeah. Says, great resource for all Christian leaders. He loves the casual feel and the average length is perfect for commutes. And he likes the 5 questions format because it's easy to follow and enjoyable. So either we have paid these people really, really well or we're doing something right.
I may need to change my online name to Okie Homie.
Okie Homie? Okie
How about that? Okie Homie.
That would be great.
So
that may be my rap name from now on. Okie Homie.
Well, as long as it's just a name and you don't actually do any rapping, that would be great.
That would be good. Yeah.
We do want to thank the listeners who left those reviews and encourage any of the rest of you to do the same, not just to help my ego. I don't actually need that. But because we have discovered a deep, dark secret of iTunes, and that is when people leave ratings and reviews, they bump podcasts way up in the rankings. So it is up to you to help other people find our podcast.
So go review. Go review and rate.
There you go.
Or rate and review.
And every leader does need encouragement. So don't just encourage the leaders in your life. Encourage the leaders on this podcast.
And we would encourage none of the 1 stars or 0 stars.
Yeah, don't leave those. Yeah. Just 4 and 5. And yeah. I think we only have 5 stars so far. Anyway, let's transition into what we're actually talking about today before people turn this nonsense off. Today, we are going to be talking about generational differences in leadership. So the differences between the way baby boomers, Gen Xers, millennials, etc. lead. And in some ways respond to leadership as well, because that's sort of a related thing. So I'm just going to dive in with the first question to sort of set the stage here. And I'll point this one to you first, Brad. What are the stereotypes of each generation's leadership, and which of those stereotypes are accurate and which are ones that have sort of been blown out of proportion?
And what are we classifying as the differences of levels of generations?
So
there's a couple of different ways to do it, guys.
Go ahead, Todd.
Well, okay. So I would say there's actually 4 generations because you still have some of the greatest generation around. Not a ton.
Which would
so
be the
World War II generation that are in their 70s and 80s.
People born like 45 and before.
So that's okay.
So
they're all retired or
some of them are still in prominent retired. Positions. Most of that generation is retired.
If you look at the way that they're technically classified, I think they use every 20 years as a new generation. And so if you follow that, then
so we've got the World War II, we've got boomers. We have Xers
and Y.
And why? And there's no new under Y yet.
There is, but they haven't
said I don't think they've given a name yet.
Which would be teenagers, basically, at this point.
Yeah, the most recent designation I saw was that the Gen Y or millennial generation is about 1980 until like 1997. But you've also heard 80 to 2000, which is a funny span because I was born in 83. And I'm married with two kids.
You're right on the edge.
If somebody was born in the year 2000 and they are the same generation as me, they're like a sophomore in high school right now.
Right.
And that feels like a massive chasm between me and them and the way that I respond and do work and the way they will in 10 years when they get a job.
X supposedly, I mean, you are right on the cusp because I think it did end. Supposedly
you and I are both X, right, Todd?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm right in the middle of X.
Yeah.
And smack dab. Gen X would be the smallest generation, and just in terms of sheer numbers, it's sort of the non-generation in terms of,
we're the un-generation.
Well, just because it's like the caught in the middle generation. It's like the middle child because Boomers was an enormous generation,
right.
And then Gen Y has been an enormous generation, and Gen X was sort of it's a much smaller one and has less. It has less sort of like cultural distinctives that people have written about it.
No, you don't hear a lot about the X generation.
Not anymore. I mean, you did when we were coming through, right. Like when we were coming into our own in adulthood.
When you guys were all troublemakers and listening to Nirvana and stuff.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
You didn't listen to Nirvana? 90s.
No, yes. You listened to
Amy Grant when you were growing up.
Sandy Patty.
I'm not even sure.
Love in any language.
Hootie and the Blowfish came along late 90s, and they were sort of the amalgamation of things. But let's get back to leadership. We could do a five questions about music genres.
Yeah.
It'd be tough to sort of spin the leadership angle on that one. But
all right, so back to the questions.
So stereotypes of generational leadership. And let's just focus on Boomers, Xers, and Gen Y, because just statistically speaking, there's not a lot of pre-Boomers in leadership positions at this point. And if they are, I'm going to guess they're probably not podcast listeners.
Yeah. Well, the millennials or the Ys are obviously stereotyped most often by the entitlement word. I would say X is most often stereotyped by the vanilla or sort of in the middle, like we've already talked about.
Like a lack of identity.
Almost. Lack of identity. We were responding more to boomers than we were anything else. We were responding sort of to what came before us.
We were really skeptical as well.
Yes.
And still are.
Yeah, cynical, skeptical. And then obviously boomers are, you know, the in many ways, the builder generation. And there was, if you think about leadership organizationally, boomers, there was still lots of hierarchy.
Yep.
Yes.
There was lots of titles and authority that was given or assumed by your level of title.
Yep.
You know, you couldn't sort of hang out with the top level leader.
Very credential style leadership. So yeah, titles, positions, educational level, things like that.
And that mattered. You had to have sort of the right degree. And I think if you watch what's happened with now millennials and the Y generation, you know, it's flat structure, it's free agency, it's willingness to sort of show up and actually expect to be in charge pretty quick. Mm-hmm. Not based on how many years I've been around here, but actually based on, am I adding value to the organization? And so that's another good way to look at it, is that, that passing on of when can you have impact and influence in an organization? We're used to, if you were a boomer, you had to wait.
Yeah.
You had to wait your turn. Well, Xers, we all went, and especially in the Christian community and in the church community.
Just went and planted churches.
We went and planted churches because we were skeptical. We didn't want to wait for the boomer to age out.
And the key boomer pastors and leaders were, I mean, they were the attractional style churches, the huge mega churches sort of came out of that generation, part of the builder generation. And a lot of Gen Xers had the cynical, skeptical reaction to that, and so went and started other things. That's where like the emergent church would have been a subset of that.
Absolutely.
Now, obviously, a lot of those church plants were not emergent. They went different ways, but that was a flavor of it. That's sort of, we're going to do things in a very different manner.
What I think is plays well for those coming up, the youngins, the millennials, is that there are a couple things.
Don't call us youngins.
There's some realities here.
Those kids.
The stark reality is you do have a smaller generation that's Generation X. So there will be more opportunities to lead. There's just going to be more opportunities to lead. I mean, all the mid-level leadership positions and even top leadership positions. If I look at the church, and Geiger and I have had a conversation in the last 2 weeks about this, we're like, where are the guys between 35 and 45? There's just not. Yep. There's not a ton of us out there. And that's great for us, I guess.
If they are, they're church planters.
If they are, they're church planters.
I mean, that's, but, if you go to a church planting conference, which all three of us do with some regularity because church leadership world is a world we're in, that crowd is largely early 30s to mid 40s. So it's older millennials to like right through the Gen X generation.
Yeah.
Not a lot older than that and not a lot younger than that.
Where I was going with that, though, is there's a blessing and a curse for the millennials in that we would tend to see them as feeling like they're entitled. And I would say I've worked with enough of them to say, yes, a lot do feel entitled. They're capable of doing tons of stuff. They have high capacity, all of that. But there's that somewhat of a sense of entitlement there. The great thing for them and the bad thing is they're coming into a marketplace that I think is going to be increasingly based upon outcomes and not hours.
Right.
So
it is.
If you're, congratulations, youngin. Yeah. If you can make go out and kill stuff and make it happen, you don't have to work as hard or whatever as your forefathers did.
You don't have to work
at
as
the
long.
Same time. Yeah. You don't have to work as long. At the same time, if you aren't able to kill, you're not going to be able to eat.
Right.
If you're not able to be a contractor,
so really we're back to a hunter gatherer mindset.
And everything else are gone. And you better be a learner. You've got to be a learner because it's all changing so quickly.
The Y generation is the first generation that has not only more knowledge at their fingertips, but they actually are more knowledgeable than the generation before them in the sense of not wise, mm-hmm. but they have more information available to them.
Yeah. In terms of information, my generation is the most information rich generation probably in history because largely because of technology. So, but all of that kind of sets the stage. That's a lot of just back and forth information, stereotypes of each generation, most of which I think people could agree with. What are the shortcomings of each generation's leadership style? So you've got the builder generation, you've got what we might call the entrepreneurial sort of countercultural generation, and then we've got the only word we came up with for millennials was entitled, but I think, I don't know if that's the best word or not, but that idea that I can earn my way into leadership immediately. So three different leadership styles, three different leadership expectations. What are the shortcomings of each?
I would say, especially for the Gen Y generation, I said Gen Y generation. It's just Gen Y or the Y generation. Sorry, I'm on drugs.
I have no excuse.
No, I would say that one of the shortcomings is the potential for the long-term faithfulness to not be in place. And you lose interest after about an hour. And that's a major shortcoming because everything in life has been sort of instant. And instant success is now expected and not required, but it's definitely expected.
Yeah.
So to take a 20, 30, 40, 50-year approach to career, to calling, to impact, you know, just that faithfulness mm-hmm. for the journey.
How much of that is age-based? Because, I mean, if you're 20...
I think it's generational-based, and it is age-based.
I just mean, I wonder if a boomer at the age of 25 had the expectation of immediate success, and then that was tempered out of them because reality set in.
I think there was a lot less opportunities for instant success, though, for a boomer when they were 25.
So the mindset entering the workforce, out of college, out of grad school, whatever it is.
It was go find one company.
Earn my way up ladder
and go
over
find
time.
One company and be there for 40 years. And nowadays, a 25-year-old, and I don't think this is a bad thing, but a 25-year-old sees the world and says, I can do anything. And if I don't like it here,
I'll go do something else. Yeah. Or I'll go start my own thing.
I'll go start my own thing because I can, you know, get online and put a website up and have a business in 2 hours.
So, and I think the blessing and the curse of the boomer generation is the expectation of really respect for authority.
Right.
The expectation of conservative, almost God-fearing, you know, you dress a certain way. You know, if you're a business person, you look like it. You have corporate suit and tie. I mean, Lifeway just changed its policy on jeans 3 years ago. I can actually wear jeans to work.
What were you wearing before that?
Well, I wasn't
here
before
that. Were you rocking the khakis?
I changed it. No.
I want to see Barnabas in khakis.
I just said I'm not coming unless you guys.
I wear khakis wear on occasion, but they're like.
Flat front or pleated?
Never pleated.
They have elastic in them. That's right. But no, I mean, there's the whole idea of, you know, being punctual. There is that hierarchical system where you have to work your way up.
Yeah.
If you come into production, you are going to sweep the floor after right. the shoot.
You got to earn your keep.
You got to earn your keep.
Your stripes in order to go to the next yes. level.
So and the shortcoming in that is that it takes no regard for human talent or inherent ability. So when you in the mindset of the boomer generation, it's much easier for me to point out the shortcomings of the boomers just because everybody knows the shortcomings of their parents better than themselves. If the expectation is you come in, you start at the bottom and you earn your way up, while that's equitable because everybody's in the same boat, it doesn't take into account that some people are just really, really good and are better at the job than the people who are more experienced. So instead of looking at overall right. productivity and how can we be the most effective, it's looking at where are you in the hierarchy, and you suppress productivity yeah. by keeping gifted people and driven people in a position of minimal impact.
Yeah, and that's the difference between hierarchical organizational management
yeah.
compared to free agent, organizational organic growth, and mm-hmm. hey, if you're good at this, we're going to put you in that role.
And again, that's, way before you're that's ready. A stereotype because there. I think in the last several years, as the millennial generation has just slammed into the workforce, there's been a lot of baby boomers who have made some really significant adjustments to focus on things like leadership development. So while there's a lot of young, talented people, how do we put them in a position to succeed? So maybe not hand them the reins to everything right away, but fast track them towards greater impact. And that's significant. And for my generation, we ought to be more inclined to look at something like that and go, I would benefit from a growth track as opposed to immediately being given everything. You know, if I was given everything at 25, I would have completely screwed it up.
I think if you look at the debate that's going on right now about education, it really is moving. And I'm not just saying this because we're doing this here as well, but it's going from knowledge to competency or mastery of something. So it's one thing to sit through this many hours of lecture on the subject. It's another thing to show proficiency, a displayed proficiency in it, to have mastery of it. And you don't need to sit through an entire semester and take, you know, this many quizzes and this many tests. A lot of what's happening right now in the debate on education is around competency. And
so it's not just about regurgitating information.
No,
but that was for a couple of generations actually important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a shortcoming of the millennial generation's leadership style, that immediacy, is a ton of wisdom comes with experience, and a ton of humility comes with experience because you take your knocks along the way. And we lack both. Oftentimes we lack wisdom and we lack humility. And those two are kind of part and parcel. But the advantage to earning your way up is that you do absorb a lot, and you take your lumps and you have your rough edges sanded off just by doing the work and repetition and waiting and all these different disciplines that you go through. And we don't often have that. So we springboard over all of that development, land in a position of great influence, and can really mess things up because we didn't get the wisdom and the humility along the way.
I mean, I think too, on the Generation Y piece, if you look at, they seem super confident, which is great. You need to have that. And most of them I know they're goal oriented, but it's about themselves.
Yeah. It's not personal fulfillment goals.
Personal fulfillment goals, not necessarily, hey, I align with the vision and values of this organization, which yeah. is going to be a problem, if you don't line up. I mean, we've done several podcasts about that.
Yeah.
But you know, I think, work is part of work for them is going to be part of their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it's been a more of a struggle, I think, for me and especially for boomers when we try to separate work-life balance. There is no separation. We are never going home again to where you have a I mean, first of all, leaders, I don't know if leaders have ever had only a 40-hour work week, but you don't have the separation between work and life balance is not there anymore. The natural separation. It's not going to happen. Well, you are going to have to be disciplined in order to make that happen.
The positive side of that is that for especially the entrepreneurial types, so Gen Xers, Gen Y, is that you see a lot of creative endeavors where work and passion intersect.
Right.
And so you're trying to do something that you love. So your source of income is your source of passion and not just, oh, I do a job to make money so that I can spend it on the things that I enjoy.
Yeah. But part of the downside is that there wasn't always a connection between what I did in terms of my vocation and my work and what I'm passionate about, because work was a means to an end. And yeah. I think Gen Y is lining that up. And that's part of the reason you see now that, you know, the average 25-year-old will have 10 to 12, maybe 15 different career assignments.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to find that sweet spot.
I'm not sure if that's a good thing. Like, that's a good and a bad thing.
There's both sides to that, because they're searching for the sweet spot. Mm-hmm. The problem is that you have to still balance that with a level of loyalty. Whereas, like, my dad, who is a boomer, I mean, he would have stayed in the same company for 40 years because that's what his dad did, whether he hated it or loved it or whether that was his calling.
That's what you did.
It was just a means to an end. And so you may have hated your work, but that was okay because you separated, as you said, Todd, like that balance was, you had your work life,
a natural separation,
home life, you had spiritual life.
I think that leads us very well into our third question, which is, what should baby boomers learn from younger leaders? And honestly, I think we're already seeing that. I'm going to go ahead and answer my own question really quickly, if you don't mind, guys. And that is, I see a lot of boomers who have, if they have the luxury of retiring early, or if they get laid off, they're actually going back and doing something that they're passionate about. They're not looking for...
Or they're getting on Facebook. One of the two.
Or both.
Yeah.
Or they're starting their new business on Facebook. You know, going back and looking at that, I do think that you're starting to see them learn that from, I don't know if they're learning it from Gen Y, but you see that Gen Y taking place.
I think it's a little bit of permission. Like they just, when you see a world around you where people are working in coffee shops and art is being created and people are combining work and causes, you know, all of a sudden, if you've been working in an accounting job and you get laid off, you go, there are possibilities I didn't know existed before. And so there's a permission aspect and an awareness aspect. So it's learning from the environment, even if it's not studying actual work habits or leadership styles or things like that.
I think the command and control leadership style of the boomers, that was stereotypical, but was actually... That would be accurate. Nowadays it's more about, I lead because I am beside my team and I'm in the trenches with my team. And I think that's another one that boomers can learn a lot from younger leaders, is that influence isn't about just me pounding my fist on the table and saying, you're going to do that because I told you to. It's more about, hey, I'm coaching you. I'm mentoring you. I'm with you. I'm beside you. I'm not over you, or my authority doesn't give me the right to tell you what to do. And you know, that I think that'll actually continue to change in a good way over time. So,
I mean, when you're talking about development, you know, there's different levels. So of getting people to do something. So if you think about it, really starts off with command. I can command someone to do something. I can tell someone to do something. I can sell them on doing it. Then I can teach them, or then I can actually show them or
model to them,
model to them. And I think what's interesting is looking at what's been most effective with the different generations and how they lead.
I think this is maybe a banner over what both you guys are talking about in terms of leadership styles for boomers. And I see this a lot in the workplace, because I've worked at a couple different organizations that are boomer heavy. We had Selma Wilson, one of our VPs at Lifeway, on the podcast. She was on previously, she mentioned that the average age at Lifeway is mid-40s, and that's actually dropped over the last few years due to retirements and hiring a number of younger people. But I mean, that's still, that's young boomer age. But what I've seen is that there's a much greater collaborative mindset amongst boomers now than stereotypically there would have been. In terms of people coming together, more open door policy. So instead of you go through the proper channels, quote unquote,
set up a meeting.
Yeah. You set up a meeting and somebody runs it. And I mean, now those are important things in certain contexts, but there's much more where people at the lower and mid levels can have an idea, walk into a boss's office and say, hey, what about this thing? What about we try this? Or they can question and say, hey, I'm not sure. I don't totally understand why we're doing this thing. And without that hierarchy there, there's more of a willingness to talk through things, to communicate clearly, and less of a because I said so. Well, let's go to question four, which is the flip side of this, which is what can millennials or Gen Y learn from older leaders? That could be Gen X or boomers. But because Gen Y is the largest currently in the workforce and is going to be exploding over the next 10 years, that seems to be a very pertinent question. What can we learn from older leaders?
Stick with it.
Persistence, tenacity, fortitude, patience,
hard work.
I think get a job. I mean, I think
that's a good one.
I mean, it's
don't be 28 in your parents' basement. Right.
The downside,
eating Cheetos,
the downside to pursuing your passions is that you overlook things you really ought to have been doing.
Right.
Because you're because you want to open an art gallery.
Yeah.
You know, fine. Do work extra hard where you work your 9-to-5 sort of middling job so that you're being responsible. You're learning good habits. You're finding opportunities you didn't know existed, and then do your creative passion stuff on the rest of your time because that's what it takes. So you work the job that you're not crazy about to create the opportunities you are crazy about. And then in time, you can flip that to where more time is devoted to your passions, but you need to earn that. You need to earn the money to do that. You need to earn the money to get out of school debt to do that, for example.
I think one of the big things is you hit it right on the head of saying, hey, wherever you are, just crush your responsibilities and what you're doing. Then you're going to have a little bit of margin, I can almost guarantee you, to do something on the side. And hopefully that's involved in your business. And hopefully it bears fruit and somebody notices it. Because that's not necessarily in your job description. It's just something that you wanted to do.
And usually it means taking on more. So you're still only awake for the same amount of hours in the day. But if you want to get ahead, you sacrifice some things. You know, you sacrifice, maybe it's some social time, maybe it's video game time, maybe it's sleeping time, and you spend an extra hour or two doing something else to be better, to get better, to produce more, whatever it is. And that's how you earn. That's how you earn the right to something more.
Your now will ultimately determine your next. And if you crush it in the now, the next will take care of itself.
There you go. Is that... I don't think that's medication talking.
Tweet that.
That was
tweet that. Tweet that, Barry White.
I'll try to I'm not going to try to one up you because that was gold. I do think one of the things that Generation Y can learn is respect the leaders that are been put in place over you. I don't care if you think they're incompetent.
Tweet that.
Respect them anyway, because that doesn't reflect poorly on them, it reflects poorly on you.
If you disrespect them.
If you're disrespectful. Yeah. Other leaders will see that. Your peers will see that. And it will affect your character, your integrity, and your own leadership. Disrespecting a leader that's been placed over you, no matter how incompetent, reflects more poorly on you.
And it's wrong.
Than it does
it's
on
just
them.
Wrong.
I'll add another one. I think just the simple idea of shut up and listen. Like just stop talking and listen. You know, now the only talking you can do is to ask really good questions, but you may have a lot of knowledge and you may know the answer, but part of the job of younger leaders is to show up with their pen in their hand and their moleskin out and to learn and
take notes
and be curious and be a constant learner and allow people around you to actually teach you. And your posture is part of the barrier to being taught. Because so many times I hear young leaders say, well, I really don't feel like they want to invest in me. I'm like, well, what's your posture towards them? how are you showing up and honoring them and respecting them? Because if your posture is one that they don't feel like you're inviting them or giving them permission to speak into you, then they probably won't.
Well, that dovetails and syncs perfectly with our fifth question. And that is, so you mentioned younger leaders put yourself in a position to be invested in. Well, fifth question, how can older and more established leaders invest in and help younger leaders so that when those people are in charge, they're more prepared?
Yeah, well, that's a huge one, is actually mentor them. And and I think a lot of old leaders are intimidated by younger leaders today because there's just a sense that they're cooler, you feel like they know more, which they do.
Or you don't like them because they give off that vibe.
Yeah, they're just and I think that's true with any generation. But part of our responsibility if we're older is to invest in younger. And it's not an extra credit assignment. That is a basic assignment of leadership and of passing on, is invest in younger leaders on your team. Well, and they actually do want it.
Yes.
There is a hunger, right, Barnabas?
Absolutely. And I would say, I would just simply request of older leaders, be patient with us, because we want to be mentored and to be taught and to grow. We're just not always very good at doing what you said earlier, Brad, and that is putting ourselves in the posture to show that. Yeah. And so we often come off like know-it-alls.
Take young leaders with you. That's what I was sort of modeled by John Maxwell, was take them with you.
All right, folks. Well, that was this episode of the Five Leadership Questions podcast. To you listeners who have tweeted at Todd or at me and said kind things, thank you. To those who have left a review, thank you. To those who haven't, we kindly ask you and beg you to go do that and only leave 5 and 4-star ratings, please. Thank you for listening. And
How does an Xer exit out of the show? Holla back, y'all. Is that our exit? I don't know. And then the wire over here. Barnabas, how do you like to exit out of a show?
I'd just say peace out.
Peace out. Okay, holla back or peace out.
Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. To learn more about how you can train leaders in your church, visit ministrygrid.com/howitworks and watch a short demo video. For participating, you will get a free 30-day trial for your entire church. Again, that's ministrygrid.com/howitworks.